Hey, what's up, everybody? It's your boy Dave Noodles, and we are on the Type 88 show, where we talk to people about how they turn their dreams into reality. We talk to people that have traveled the world, made things that may have seemed impossible happen, people that have climbed mountains, people that have rollerbladed through Alicia Keys videos, people that have traveled the world. Who've rode on elephants. I right here is a walking highlight reel, and he's been a good friend of mine for over a decade plus. The Type 88 show. What's up, my brother?
Woo! Applause! Applause! Yo, shout out to Dave Noodles, legend upon legend. Know how much of a good guy this guy is. And
oh, my man. Thank
he
you.
He works really, really hard. He deserves his own intro. He never stops dreaming. I recently went out roller skating for 4 hours. And when I took off my roller skates, there were three stereotype bookmarks under my feet.
Really?
No idea. My body was light as a feather on top of your bookmarks.
Wait, they were in the shoe or under
the shoe? They were in
the
shoe. I was skating on top of them. I was standing on them in the roller skate. And when I thought, what is in my roller skate right now? And out came three of your quintessential business. Out came three of your quintessential books. And I was like, this is just, did you do this on purpose? When I stashed my skates underneath your table at the most recent event, did you put three of your bookmarks in my roller skate?
I did not. That's crazy. They
Do
were,
you think that they might
oh,
have
that's where
off
you
the
found
table
them?
And fallen serendipitously into the boot? And then I serendipitously forgot to check my skates for bookmarks before I put them
wow.
on?
Wow. That's cool. That's cool when things just happen and
mm-hmm.
you're not even realize, and then you find out later. That just shows you were just in the moment. I was in the moment, because to hear about this 2 months later, I definitely didn't do that intentionally.
That's right. I know. I thought it was like a secret. At first, I thought it was like a secret sneak, cool move. And I was like, I know Dave. Dave probably wouldn't even do that. I can't wait to ride on elephants someday, but I have yet to ride on elephants. You just put a new thing on my bucket list.
I was just like, let me throw the most randomest stuff. Because when I think of random, this guy, you are the guy, bro. Like, who doesn't know? My friend here, like, anytime I've hung out with this guy, it was always such a random, memorable experience. And that was just days I've hung out with you. I can't imagine the other 99% of your life. But maybe let's talk about like the beginning of how things randomly came to be, because you were the first person that I really remember on Staten Island that was like openly a photographer. Like, you were known as a photographer.
Interesting.
And there was no one else that I knew as a photographer. There were people that I knew who took photos, who had a camera. But this is like teenage years, pretty much. And you were doing things at a professional level. And it didn't even, I don't even know if you were saying, I want to do this at a professional level. I think you were just taking the most coolest photos at that time. Like, maybe you could kind of talk about how you even got that camera, that first camera, or even how you even got into the game of photography.
Thank you, David. Well, I was born in 1981. I come off fairly youthful, so some people get surprised to learn that I'm 40. I've had art in my life pretty much all my life. And for that, I'm like very self-aware, very grateful that I was afforded opportunities. Specifically, I really have to say shout out to my grandma, Grandma Santa, who was also like a lifelong and was a career artist, even though she didn't make a career of art because, 13-year-old immigrant Italian girls didn't have the opportunity to make a career as an artist in the early part of the century. So her art skill was incredible, but the opportunities that were at her fingertips and realistic for, like a first generation, second generation Italian American, that wasn't going to happen. And, the love and also the like, I want better for my future generations. I reaped the benefits of that as a kid because I had an adult, my grandmother, who instead of giving me crayons, gave me the good shit and just put it right in my hand. And, so I would be coloring and being a little kid, but I was doing it with the professional grade colored pencils and or some of grandma's paints and you're playing with it. And she was really amazing. I still have some of her paintings. Her one of one child of the next generation, my father's generation, he was a photographer. Shout out to John Shane. And before I ever picked up a camera, I inherited his camera, so I just had it because he passed away when I was young. And so his camera and lenses were like, he had a Minolta. It wasn't like, geez, it wasn't thousands of dollars worth of gear, but it was, it's like the thing, it was very popular. It was popular then. I think photography is more popular now than ever before. Especially it is pop more popular now exponentially than ever before because every single person has one of these. I got four cameras in my pocket. Most people have two, three. I got a front facing and a back facing camera all the time. It's connected to the internet. We could go down the rabbit hole quick. So people have access to it. And they have access to sharing it on whatever platform you choose to or choose not to. So I went from drawing to a fascination in New York City with graffiti and being fascinated by graffiti culture and seeing writing on the walls. I'm wanting to know why, wanting to know what's that about. Who are these people? Why is this happening? How do they get away with that? And so growing up in New York City from in the 80s and then in the 90s, I think I was like about 15 when I was like, hey mom, if I ever get brought home in a police car, I'd rather give you advance warning instead of you receiving shock, but I'm gonna start doing graffiti, mom. My
You
mom was
told
like,
her.
yeah, well, I feel like it was better to tell her and
Warned.
get arrested and then get brought home or like make the one phone call. Hey, mom, I got arrested for graffiti. That sucks. Telling your mom, I'm gonna go do graffiti. And then her being like, no. And then you call her, hey, mom, but no, the good part, the best part about this story is that I told my mom, and she was like, oh yeah? Well, I know I can't stop you. If you get arrested, don't call me. Call your father. And my parents have been separated since I was like a child. I was like since I was like three. So she was, don't call me, call your father.
So how old are you when you're telling her that you're gonna get
15.
in? Okay.
And I never did get brought home in handcuffs. I think my will to harm myself while climbing fences and jumping over shit has always overshadowed somebody else's willingness to harm themselves chasing me. So I managed to get away with a couple of things by taking flight. As a I think a, as a many teenagers have, and many teenagers should get the shit out of your system, but it never leaves your system. And so I haven't, you know, put my name on anything that doesn't belong to me in 20 years or more.
Wow.
But I still read the wall. I still read the signs on the wall. I read the writing on the wall. I think. So one of the reasons you see graffiti artists finding their place in the world as a creative professional is because nobody gives them their break. They, for whatever reason, have the audacity to go out and take theirs. And then if you have that level of guts, balls, arrogance, entitlement, desire to have your message be heard, I think there's also that carries over into your other practices or your other mediums, or the way that you carry yourself. And so that's something that's never really left my bloodstream. And
it's freaking real.
Graffiti taught me not to ask for permission to take up the space that you feel your art should take up. And should is a funny thing, because who decides what should is? We'll go straight on to some philosophical, like, should is of the ego. I should do this. I think you should do that. That's a slippery slope. So telling other people what they should do, that's not a good look. And preach, you know, nobody really wants to be preached to. Nobody really wants to be lectured.
Of course. But
I think the most influential way to do things is just to demonstrate a way of life or a state of being and embody that. And we influence each other.
Yeah.
We influence each other. I'm going to tell you a story about you and me that has walked with me every day since the day it happened. And we call this the case study of human nature. Shout out to Chris Text, Christian Penn
Project. Shout out to him. Sure.
Great man. And a brilliant guy, and like a fellow philanthropist who at some point in time you were producing a piece about Chris. And you broke the mold, split the script, came and pointed a camera at me. I think you came to my house and you filmed me with a camera after many years of me filming you, photographing your brand, your face, your friends. You turned, you know, as through our fellow and collective evolutions, you came to me with the camera. Now Dave Noodles is influencing. Now Dave Noodles is interviewing me. And you asked me a question about Chris. And I was like, oh, that's a really good question. Pass. Let's go through all the questions and we'll come back to that one. And then we hit pause. And then we talked for a minute. And I had drawn a blank. And then you and I discussed the right answer to that question so that you would get something that was pointed and not something that was rambling. And you said some words about Chris. I said some words about Chris. We discussed the answer to my question. You pressed record again. When I went to speak, I said the exact words that had come out of your mouth. And I had a thing that I was going to say, but I didn't say what I was going to say. I said what Dave Noodles said. And I thought of myself, it's a person that would be hard to just organically manipulate, influence in this way. But at first, I didn't have an answer. Then I thought about the answer. Then I heard your answer. Then when it was time for me to speak, instead of me saying my answer, I said your words. I said your answer. And it really hit me as a really important, like, before and after, AC, A, BC, AD moment, because I like to interview people. I like to get an organic, like, I want to ask this person their opinion. And this taught me to keep my opinion to myself until I've elicited theirs. So that I don't stir the pot my direction and see the whirlpool my way in the eyes, through the eyes of the other person. Because we all have a power to influence each other, whether we recognize it or not. Oh, I don't like the color blue. I like the color green. All right. People are going to be pretty steadfast in their own preferences. But politics, righteousness, ethics, like, you know, people spread religions, people spread good and bad ideas. I'm off. Wow. You know, we have the ability to influence each other.
For sure.
Repetition is the most basic and fundamental version of mind control. And just by, you hear it once, so be it. You hear it twice, it sinks in a little bit deeper. And then the thing, think about the messages you hear over and over and over again. And how those, if you're not careful, you can end up submerged in a thought process that you didn't even.
That's real.
You didn't really have to think about it. It's thought its way into you.
Bro, that's crazy you bring that up, because there's times where I'm feeling an emotion or I'm having an opinion on something, but there's something in me that doesn't agree with it, or I'm like, wait a minute, where did this come from? Was it me? Who planted this? Did I add all my facts up, or am I recycling an email that someone else sent me?
Is this my thought, or has this been, have I just accepted this as reality?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've heard it enough times.
Yeah. It's so real. The repetition is so real. And,
I've taken this moment in my house where you were interviewing me. This was just a moment in time, but it's really, really, really stuck with me. It affected my work flow. I'd say it's affected the way that I've stepped into certain rooms and been like, you know, I want to get a natural reaction out of somebody. So I need to subdue myself to some degree and let them be them. But that's in the specific context of, like, I'm gonna direct an interview and elicit the response and wanting that that interview to be natural and organic, not filtered too much through or by me. Photography is something that I really like. It jumped out at me. It kind of landed in my lap. And I really loved it. And I saw a potential in it, and I pursued the fuck out of it. And curse, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's
curse a lot. I try not to, you know, I'm not in front of the baby, grandmas and babies, but
no, I hear you, man.
If I had unlimited time and resources, I would probably make enormous photorealistic paintings out of oil paint, spray paint. I would just like fuck off. And I would make art, like, if I never had to pay a bill, or, you know, all everything, you know, if we were all awarded $8 billion and money became no construct ever again, I would probably just make really giant photorealistic paintings. But I don't have that kind of time on my hands while being alive and trying to eat food and develop my adult life into its final form.
That's real.
In this current state of being. But I found early that photography is like a realism device. It's a realism machine. And so all those things that I wanted to paint real cool and detailed, this is a detail capturing device. And that's where the light bulb went off. And I was like, this is a tool and it's based on science. And if I learn the science, then I can capture realism and I can develop that realism and I can hone that. And that's where I started to kind of really like put a lot of my attention, and it appealed to me and I became obsessed with it and went to school for graphic design. It was kind of like, I loved graffiti and illustration. I didn't know how creative people made a living, but I did understand, you know, for people kind of coming up in the game, like I understood when I was a teenager that people had jobs as graphic designers. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know what a graphic designer did, really. But when I didn't think that much about college, and then it was time to go to college, and I thought, and we're going all the way back. Like, I grew up in Staten Island, and I thought to myself, instead of going to the local college of my island, of my place, I'm going to go to the local college of the nearest neighboring place. Mm. And so I went to Brooklyn's Community College. And I knew, you know, all the, like the Dave Noodles, the Emilio Sparkses of the world, who all were at CSI. Because of the Staten Island creative community and my friends who were in CSI, I thought to myself, the people I need to know that are at CSI, I'll find them and my people will find them. I'm going to go find new people in this other place. And if I find good new people there, I'll bring them this way and we can bring them this way. And so I was like a young expansionist from my local creative community over the Verrazano Bridge to kind of prospect and see, well, what's going on over here? Partially sheltered, partially opening up that shelteredness into the next neighboring region.
Wow.
And that's where one of my first friends, like my best friend from college, BFFC. BFFC stands for best friend from college. Shout out to Maggie Serpica.
Hey.
Who?
And you met in Brooklyn. You met in Brooklyn.
Yes.
Wow.
I think, like, I take credit for nothing. Maggie is one of the most incredible and, like, fiercely, independently badass. A human, female, tattoo artists, mamas, all of these things. But I think I could say that I had some degree of involvement in Maggie, like migrating creatively and residentially to Staten Island. And that, so going to Kingsborough got us a Maggie.
Wow.
And
bro, that's real, because a lot of us make decisions based on comfort.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, my friend is here. Oh, my boy. My people I grew up with are there. All right, great. Or, oh, I don't got to travel over the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't got to take the bus.
The bridge was still expensive back then, too.
Of course. I know.
About like $5 a day or $8 a day when the rest of the tolls in the city were $2.
But you made a conscious decision to be like, I want to go where no one knows my name. Like, you were like, oh yeah, I grew up on Cheers. Well, F Cheers. I want to go where no one knows my name.
Yeah, exactly.
And I want to know people's name.
Yeah.
And I want to just have fun and do, and here you are, bro. Like, that's cool, because when I chose college, it was more of a comfort. Okay. I don't want to go far. I'm kind of looking at my, like, oh, the person I'm dating, they're near here. Okay, so I'll just kind of base it around all this. I love how you just did, I want to go where no one knows my name. That's freaking awesome.
But I also stayed local.
Yeah, of course. I think that's so cool, bro. The days I go places and I meet people, everyone in a room where I don't know one person,
Yeah.
those days stick out to me like no, I remember them so vividly. The days where everything was just not what I'm used to. Getting a burger at this random spot. Oh, tripping on this little on this dog leash of the cat of the dog that was running across the street. Like every like you could I could remember those days vividly, 'cause every day every experience was breaking the nuance of the routine that I was so used to. And that's crazy. That's so cool that you made that decision when you were at that young age, like going against comfort.
Yeah.
That's cool, man.
There's one other aspect I think is perfectly on that topic, is that I made a conscious decision from a young age that I wanted to live. Not that I wanted to, it's not that I wanted to live the life of an artist. On a very practical level, I recognized that I think you get more. Ideas cost more than time. And people got paid more for their ideas than they got paid for their man hours. And I had that observation without having an understanding of how you get there or what steps it would take. And I think if you went to if you got a professional education or if you had a mentor or this or that, maybe you can find your way there. But I didn't know how to do that. I just recognized that like an artist can use $10 worth of this and $15 worth of that, and they could say it's a masterpiece. Or somebody else will say it's a masterpiece, and now it's $10,000 or $100,000. That doesn't make sense to me. Still kind of doesn't make sense to me, but I know that that's real. And the pricing for art, for creative services, for these things where you use your brain to come up with ideas, they garnered a different scale, a price scale in a marketplace. Good luck on finding that marketplace in due time. But so like you, when you grow up in New York City, at least in the upbringing that I grew up in, kind of this like, I remember being told, like, oh, you got to go for the city jobs. Oh,
Of course.
you should go fireman. You should got
Teacher,
cop, teacher. You know, they all got different
sanitation.
pensions. You work for X amount of years. You get a retirement plan. You get paid money. I mean, it seems like an amazing concept, but it also scared the hell out of me. To think about giving all of the best years of your life to a dedicated practice. I'm going to give you the first 20 years, the first 30 years of my adulthood, so that if I live, I can give you the next 20 years, 30 years, like I get to myself. This did not compute in my young mind, but I still listened to the people who told me to do it. And it was really early on that, like, okay, so I'll take the tests for the things. I took this, remember, like, I was really young and they had a round of the sanitation test. So when I took the written test and I got a good score on it, and then I pay no mind to it. And then you get a letter in the mail that says, go take the physical. You're like, physical. Like, I'm very physical. This should be an easy test. You go do the physical and it's an easy test. And I don't actually want the job, but everyone keeps telling me to try. And you can always turn it down, but keep trying because it's hard to get. And then I think I was maybe tops, like I was under 25 in my early 20s. And I get a letter in the mail that's like, come fill out the paperwork so that you may begin the hiring process.
You're steps away, okay.
Like on a list, let's say I'm 24 and my name is on a list with 15,000 people and my list number is 600. And so I'm like in my early 20s. Shout out to everyone that is New York
Of
Strongest,
course.
by all means. Like, this is an honorable profession. It's hard work. It's good work.
Oh, for sure.
All
Shout
this.
out to all my people.
I remember
I have
getting
dozens of friends.
Yes. Yes, me too. You can go and you can visit them at the houses that they own. You know, they take a picture of them and their wife, and they're holding the keys and they're standing on the front porch. Like, it's a job you can build a life with. And I get the letter in the mail that says, go start filling out the paperwork for your hiring process. And I was like, oh no. I thought about it for a minute. And then I have this memory that I've been revisiting recently where I invited two of my friends into the woods and I made a small like campfire with leaves and sticks, and I like started a little fire in the woods, and then I pulled the envelope out of my jacket and I presented it to my friends, and I was like, I want you guys to be witnesses to this. This is what this is. This is my acceptance letter into the system of this specific job, and I'm determined to build a life for myself in the things that I love. And so with you bros as my witnesses, I am dedicating my life to my art. And I threw the envelope in the fire and I burned it. And it was a commitment to myself to follow my dreams. And then, through the encouragement of many, including, but certainly not limited to, but definitely including Dave Noodles, I did not stop dreaming. This whole time. That conversation in the woods was close to 20 years ago. And I've had successes and I've had failures. I've had setbacks. I've had L's. I've had W's. I've had super W's. I don't know like one person that has a city job that also doesn't have a second job for the better. Like, everybody on the FDNY has a whole side business. That's fire. That's great. You know, people that work for the sanitation, they can retire, have a pension, have their dope shit, have stability. And you can even also make your art. I know some really, I won't say any names. I know some really dope artists that have that job.
Me too.
But then there's always these moments. I have these moments where it's the middle of the night and I might be having like my doubts or an existential crisis. I'm like, oh, what the fuck am I doing? And like, out of nowhere, like this garbage truck will come around the corner. And I'll just take a minute. Maybe I'll even like high five the guy off the back of the truck. And we pass each other like ships in the night. And I take a minute. I check my compass. And I keep going. And just fucking like be relentless, because you never know what's around the next corner. And a lot of the opportunities that I get in my life, they're seeds that got planted years ago. This is a conversation easily 15 years in the making.
Bro, I know.
There are people that I have been friends with for over a decade, and they made the connection to get me a connection, to get me a gig for the first time last year.
Yep.
In the first 10 years of our relationship, they didn't give me no gigs. They didn't. It's not that they didn't want to. It's that they weren't in a place to do so.
Of course.
Shout out to everybody in New York or elsewhere that's ever left their comfort zone, their hometown, their place of origin, believed in themselves to step out into the world and do their thing. whether they wanted to or they had to. I love greeting people who come to New York City.
Yeah. It's just such a blessing to see this. And that shout out you gave, it's so real. And it could be anyone, even if they left their comfort zone of just getting that job that they had to do because their wife is pregnant. And they're like, oh man, I got to go do this. I need to hold this down.
Mm-hmm.
I got two on the way. Okay, I'm going to roll with this. Or the artist that just went off and was like, yo, I'm going to Cali. I don't know what's going on. Shout out to everyone, for real. Just
shout out to everyone. Yeah.
That's out here working.
Yeah. Everyone that you meet from some other place that comes to New York City, like, they really had to take that leap of faith.
Yeah.
You know, I've found that when I travel, people will lighten your load and help you along the way. They'll feed you, they'll house you. They're like, you're out here. You're here on a mission. You decided to leave. What are you doing here? I don't know. Not even I don't know. Like, I love travel. But the few times that I've traveled just for the fuck of it, I've either felt like I was bored or like I wasn't living in my purpose. Like, it's cool to be here, but why am I here?
Mm-hmm.
And I love making things.
Yeah.
And I'm never happier than when I'm like in my element, creating, photographing, you know, making a short film, making a mini documentary. So
yeah,
since I love both of those things, I constantly look for ways to combine my favorite things. And
love it.
I've found that if I travel without art and creation in the forefront, I'm not even like very happy when I'm there. Not that I'm not happy, because I'm not super grateful.
Of course, of course.
You need to rest and just rest. But yo, I'm so honored and I'm so grateful to say that I live a life that I don't feel the need to vacate from.
Wow.
So the idea of going on vacation has to be like a real victory lap, or mandatory, like, I have a backache. I need to relax.
Oh, I fucking feel you, man. That's
like, I don't want to travel to the top of Mount Everest just to go do that and then come back down. Zero appeal.
What flavor could you add?
90-year-old woman is gonna climb Mount Everest. I'd be like, yo, I want to film that. Like, she climbed it when she was 15 and she's going to climb it again when she's 80. Like, that's some cool shit. But, you know.
That's real, bro.
Just go somewhere to sit on the beach. Beaches are amazing. But, like, I want to live. I feel the happiest when I'm living in my purpose. And so I look for ways to combine all of my favorite things.
Bro, you were given this gift. We're living in the present.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes sense, right?
Right.
Sharing your gift in the present moment. There's really, it's hard to top that at all. And I completely feel you about the vacay. And there's nothing like that, bro. Bro, the other day I was hanging out with my sister-in-law. And I was like, do you want me to just buy Thanksgiving? Bro, imagine asking a Colombian Italian woman who always makes Thanksgiving. But I was like, yo, you deserve a break. Someone should feed you for once. She was like, nah, I'm good. Bro, that her gift is giving, helping other.
Shout out to Danny Noodles.
Shout out to my brother, for real.
Because you just said your sister-in-law. That means that your brother got married.
Well, actually, I'm engaged.
Oh, you're engaged.
Learning all this stuff. Yeah. So we're kind of just blowing all these things out.
Blew it out the water. Wait. Perfect segue. I have to blow my nose because I got emotional thinking about how grateful I am.
Bro, when you have a gift, you don't need to the need of escapism, I don't it's like irrelevant.
Hold on one second.
So
Let fucking go.
it just made me think of that when I asked her. Her passion is providing for her family and giving them an experience on a holiday and where you feel
So
and
that's a
it
wait.
gives you purpose.
One more thing. All right. While we're making adjustments, I blew my nose. I lost the jacket. I'm drinking straight out of this gallon of water. As the kids say these days, let's fucking go.
I was just like, yo, you deserve a break, but it made me think of that with the vacation. It's like, I don't need a break if this is something I love to do. I could jump right in at any time,
Yeah.
regardless if it takes me all day. It's worth it when I could see what I was able to contribute to the world while I was here. A meal, capturing a moment, having a great conversation, bro. Like, purpose is everything, bro. Bro, without you and purpose, pose. You're right? And PR pose. What the hell's PR pose?
Public relations and posing for
You're
pictures.
posing for
I got what you're saying. That's a wild breakdown. Shout out
We need to put
to
the you in purpose.
the another my favorite memory of Dave Noodles was like it stands out your archetype. You're not measuring. Well, it's hard. Staten Island is this underdog region. It's part of underdog is kind of part of our persona culturally. And instead of conceding to the coolness of the other places and going to where it was cool, I made it my business to invest the time of, let's say my 20s locally. I also didn't know where shit was happening outside in the rest of the world. And so not knowing where to go find it out there, where better to build it than right here. And it takes time. It's like you don't have like one like no man is an island, and it takes a lot of trees to make a forest. Like it takes people coming together in order for you to have a community. And that takes effort and that takes time. You can do it on the cheap, but it works better if you have money. You don't need big money. You just need, I mean, time is really, something that happened for a period of time was we had an arts community at large, but it filtered through a couple of different bars. And we would all see each other and we would all be doing our own things. And we would all meet each other under the setting of going to see a band, going out for a beer. And then somebody had the idea to start meeting up at like Tuesdays at 6 o'clock instead of Saturday at midnight. And so for a consecutive series of Tuesdays, everybody met in the back of the bar and at least started off sober, and we talked about constructive things for an hour, and then you can go off and even if it, like it was still a meeting in a bar, but the consistency of like bringing a community together every week, every other week, rapidly gave birth to a number of different things. That's how Van Duzer Days landed. That's how this, the ground was already fertile. You already had businesses in the neighborhood. You already had people frequenting a very specific block of little microcosm of space. And it just, all it took was a little bit of extra organizing. Jen is an amazing organizer. Mm. Oro was, had crazy ideas, and
yeah, shout out to Oro. Know,
each individual brings a piece to the puzzle, brings a piece to the puzzle to create the whole.
Real stuff.
You know, I dedicated a considerable amount of my youth energy into promoting the place where I came from. And at some point in time, whether it was age, experience, necessity to expand, the desire to want to grow and expand, that I pivoted from investing in my place to further investing in myself.
You have
and
to.
By further investing my focus and my energy into self, I found that I grew more, and then more creative opportunities came into my lap. I got more visibility. Sometimes maybe as an individual, just as an example, you know, all that fun you were describing, the doing good work, having a good presence in the world, to the point where somebody says, "Where are you from, man?" And I say, "Oh, I'm from Staten Island." That was the third decade of my life. Or actually, we say your 20s would be the third decade of your life, and your 30s would be the fourth decade of your life. So there was a pivot point where I say, you know what, I'm going to stop trying to promote my place, and I'm just going to really just promote the shit out of myself. And if anybody asks where I come from, then that's my place. I get to, you know, show my colors. That's how I rep my place.
Of course.
And I won't say any names. There's a few people that I know that are really, really passionate about Staten Island, the place. And they want it to be something else. They want it to change. But I think that people really just need to, like, bulk up to themselves and be amazing for themselves. And if anybody's curious how you got so amazing, tell them where you got so amazing. Mm-hmm. Tell them how you got so amazing. Bring them to Staten Island.
That's
bring
real.
Them on the, bring them on the pizza tour.
Yep.
Yo, right now, I'm scheming to start having social meetups again. I am fixing.
The world needs it.
I mean, the world needs it, but also I need it. Because there was an era of my life where I more deeply, more robustly engaged in creating space. I've been creating work. I've been creating content. I've been making photos and videos, and that's cool. But it's been a while since I've put my full force into creating a gathering.
Mm.
And so I really want to
build feeling.
A skate and creative thing. Like, I don't like an event that's all about one thing. Like, I love the hybrid factor of you're gonna maybe some people come for this and they experience that, or they came for this and they discover this other thing. So multimedia events, you know, like have an art show with some band, and then, you know, that was the way.
You know how I roll. You know how I.
Yeah.
Of course, bro.
Many events.
We need to connect in real life, and we need to have moments together.
Yeah.
And, bro, we just had the event Dream Camp. Bro, it was a freaking dream come true. Tell me about it. I was feeling a void of connection. I work pretty much alone most of the day. I collab with many people, but they're far away.
Yeah.
They're not here with me. I was talking to my partner and just basically being like, I just, most of the time, babe, I just want to unload on you everything I'm thinking, all my ideas, all this. And I'm like, it's too much. You've had a long day. You're dealing with a very tough job.
Mm-hmm.
You want to come home and chill. And I'm like, I think I need to do an event. She's like, you need to do this event. She's like, you should go for it. And I said, okay. And then everything just started to align, you know, like the date. Because I was like, oh, maybe I could do it on Kobe's birthday. It's coming up in a month or two. And then I found out the date was available. And I was like, oh, perfect. And then I was like, I'd love to do it. But I would love to do more than just say, hey, come and celebrate, come and just party, right? Unfortunately, there was something going on with one of my friends. They were going through it. They were trying to have a GoFundMe and trying to raise some funds.
Yeah.
And I was like, we can make it a cause too, where we just give the money away to them. I'll just give whatever it is away. I don't need to use this as a business way to line my pockets. Events were never that anyway. That connected. And then summer hit me. Like, I'm in this nostalgic vibe of just wanting to connect. And then I remember growing up in camp. And I remember that being the highlight of my summers.
Oh, yeah.
Almost of my life. Like, my best summers were kicking the ball over the fence. You know, getting these points. Like, being one of the top performers of Mr. Sandman's summer camp at PS 29. You know, or IS-27, excuse me,
mm-hmm.
And PS-29. But, bro, those were the moments. And I was like, yo, maybe I could do some camp things. So, bro, you know when you get an idea and then just everything just starts connecting. And then you're just like, I was just on a roll. I was just on a roll. I was feeling it. The theme, the name. And then the response. You put it out. There was hype for it. And then it just fueled the fire. It yeah. was just everything timing together, and it was just beautiful. And then that moment, that day was just beautiful, bro. We wanted to give people a theme. People felt very connected to the theme. It was youthful. People were meeting each other. It was like, it was pretty much my dream when I thought of the event. I was like, yo, I want people to become friends with each other because of this day. And bro, so many people met that day. And I was like, I wanted it to feel like camp. And it was just, bro, it was so beautiful. It was a moment I'll always remember, just to be able to bring people together. It's everything, bro. And
it sounds like
it was special.
You understand something that I understood as well, which is that an event, an art show, that's an art, you could call it an art show, you could call it whatever you want, is a great way to convince great people to get in the room with each other. And then your two friends who need, you think they should know each other, right? The rare employment of the should part, but you get to apply your should to their lives by convincing them to be in the same room together for your cause and your purpose. But maybe your true purpose is to get these two people to meet. It is hard enough to get one of them and the other of them to meet up with you and have coffee. But if you can get them to both come to one place, and while you're making laps around the room, handling all your business, you say, you, come here. Mm-hmm. Blah, blah, blah. Here. Mary, meet Steve. Steve, meet Mary. Yep. You guys need to talk about this. Yo, why are you two not in a band together? Talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah. Bro, that's everything. Bro, connection is everything. And anyone that ever wants to do an event, I just tell them, pick a day.
Do it.
Just throw it on the calendar and watch how things evolve.
Yeah, what if you have to fail at something five times before you get it right? Are you going to fail at it five times and then get it right? Or are you going to never do it at all?
Yep. You know, it's like The Godfather, bro. Give people something they can't refuse. Give them
an offer they can't refuse.
Give them some great value and give them a chance to share their purpose. And that's how we were able to do so many events. Just like, that was always my formula. How do I get everyone here to do what they love to do?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to ask them to do that. I can't wait to do more events, bro. And I would love to come to one of yours.
Likewise, my friend. The feeling is mutual. But I like to under-promise, over-deliver. And it's kind of like, I mean, you either learn this or you know it or you learn the hard way. But you can even also call it a certain level of karma if you believe in karma, which you... There's many reasons why it's better to put something into action and then talk about it.
Of course.
Then talk about it before you put it into action. Because people can get the rug out from underneath you, or even in a more benevolent way. It's better for the energy to be spent promoting the thing that's already made than it is talking about what you want to do.
Of course.
And I mean, I've been in this game long enough that I've definitely said, oh, I want to do this. And then saw someone who I know, who I considered a friend. Or maybe they are my friend, but they forgot I said. Bottom line, you know, you say you're going to do something and somebody else does your idea. So did they steal your idea? Or did you have a great idea that you didn't own, and then you didn't step up and take ownership of it, and somebody else beat you to it because they outworked you.
Yeah.
They out-executed. You know, you could have an amazing idea for a book, but if you don't publish that shit and somebody else publishes it with the same name, you miss that particular boat.
That's real. I agree.
So it's better to talk about things after they come into existence, you know.
Of course. You've been on quite a journey, right?
Yes. You and
from that first Minolta cam to pretty much carving your own lane. Maybe you could even break that down, how you even jumped into the roller skating filmography game.
Well, as I said before, and I will say again, I like to find ways of combining. It's almost like speedballing all of the things that I love. I have expressed, I have this love for creating, for visual art, for photography. And another one of my passions is skating. I rollerbladed as a teenager. And then the rollerblading wasn't cool anymore, so I retired for like at least 15 years. And then I just remember thinking, like, you know, as you age, everybody should have a hobby that gives them exercise and stimulus. You know, maybe you play basketball, or you go for a walk, or you go for a jog, or you like skiing. I just remembered that, like, I had like really good strength and memory that was living in my legs that was dormant, like a sleeping dinosaur, like a sleeping giant. I was like, man, like, there's this knowledge in my body that I have retired. I would like to revisit it. And so from the moment I put the skates back on, blessed that I have a decent amount of health, it was very little time, if not no time, had elapsed, and it took me a little while to get better or to get like re-coordinated. But like, man, I had been thinking, like, all of these years had gone by, and you kind of think about it with nostalgia, but it's in the rearview mirror. And then it's like, oh man, I'm gonna get skates again. And then for months I was like, I want to get them, but like, I could have bought them, but I have this like, so this weird, like, I was like, yo, the universe is gonna bring me my skates. The ones that are meant for me, like, I could at any moment in time, for months. I could have gone out or gone online. I could have purchased a pair of skates. But there was this pair of skates that somebody had worn on Mardi Gras and then left at my friend Nick's house in New Orleans. And then the next time I went to New Orleans and I went to Nick's house, he presented me with the skates. And he's like, these skates, they were left here for you. And now you get to have these skates. And we had this dramatic moment where it was like through the circle of my loved ones and all of these different factors and aspects that I love. It was like these skates, not some skates from Amazon, but like these skates that had been like brought to New Orleans from one place to be used for this other thing. And anyway, I wanted to get them through some funny kismet, serendipitous fucking connection. But then the second I put them on my feet, I awkwardly like ran out the door, and the street was all rugged. Like, it wasn't even a nice place to skate. And I was just like running across the potholes and running on this like rugged terrain. And what really happened immediately in front of my friend's house, it was this firehouse. There was 13, 15 like Japanese tourists standing in front of the house taking a picture. And I skated up to them. I grabbed the camera and I was like, selfie, selfie. And I became their, like, I took their group photo and then I gave them back the phone. And I was like, please be my audience for my first roller skating performance in 15 years. And then I proceeded to spaz out ungracefully, dance, throw myself at the ground, flail, had like an interpretive dance a cappella display to these total strangers. It was like, I'm here, I'm back, we're going for it. So from the moment I put the skates back on my feet,
wow,
I was just like, I had an outlet for an enthusiasm beyond which would have even made sense if I'm just standing there in a pair of sneakers. It's like, what's wrong with him? Calm down. Why is he so excited? Like, I had pent up joy. I, as much as you might say, oh, Mike Shane is fun, or you associate me with fun, I think that there was like maybe a few more notches that could have been turned on the dial that I wasn't dialing into because I needed something else.
Wow. And that's real.
I set out on a mission to get aptitude in my body, knowledge, where I would gain the ability to trust myself to then use electronic equipment, cameras, expensive shit sometimes. I try not to have cameras that are too expensive because if I had you can get a video camera that starts at 10 grand. And if you break it, you lose 10 grand. You can have a camera that's close to as good, not as good. And of course the like real professionals will be like, oh, it's not the same, but like it's pretty close.
Yeah.
And you can get the pretty close version for like 2 grand or 3 grand. And then even that's a lot of money, respectfully. That is a lot of money, but it's a tool. At the end of the day, all of our tools are just tools. Your microphone doesn't work if you don't take it out of its case. Your hammer, it's not meant to go in a glass box.
Mm-hmm.
It's meant to hit things until it snaps in half. And in a slightly unorthodox approach, I think of my camera equipment more like a hammer than I think of it like some delicate precision tool. Because you need to take it out and you need to use it. And sometimes in the line of duty, your things are going to break, but you can't not use them because you're afraid of breaking them. A capped lens does not capture an image, and you have to uncap it and recap it, and you need a place to put the cap, and then you got to take the cap out and you got to put it back on the cap. And if you've got the cap on and you see the golden moment A portal opens and a unicorn steps out, and you raise your camera to take the once in a lifetime picture, and you see a lens cap beep. And the portal closes, and the unicorn goes back in. And now all you have is a fairy tale. You have a legend. I've missed at least five pivotal shots of my career because of a fucking lens cap. When I purchase a lens might cost $1, it might cost $500, it might cost $1,000. I buy that shit. I take the lens caps off. I put them in the box. I put the lens in my camera bag. I put the lens from the camera bag to the camera. I don't use lens caps because it's that one more moment where you're like, you go to raise the camera and there's one more thing stopping you. You look through, you're like, why is my vision black? My vision is black. My camera is on. Why is the camera not working? Oh, the moment is gone. The moment has passed. It was the lens cap. So I'm not even going to try and make this a deeper metaphor for other thing. My point is that I just try and stay prepared. I stay ready. I keep a memory card and a charged battery in my camera, even when I'm not at work, on my day off, in case the sky opens up, or, you know, like nobody schedules a flood.
True.
Nobody like schedules a natural disaster or some reason that you might want to spring into Spider-Man mode and go out into the world and go capture something. So if you stay ready, you never have to what?
Get ready.
Okay, I'm not
That's
always
fire.
constantly ready, but it's something to strive for. It's like
Yeah.
strive for a certain level of athleticism because it's my body that brings my vision to the promised land of where I capture a picture. And you know, like my currently my body's all riddled with like minor injuries, and I would love to be able to excel above and beyond even what I'm capable of today. And bodies are amazing. They're capable of healing. You can really mess your shit up and then you can come back from it.
Crazy.
There was this one time where I wanted to, I knew that the perfect, I could see a good shot, but the perfect shot was on top of this thing. And so I tried to put my backpack on and I tried to climb up on top of the thing and I failed. And I couldn't, I probably could have gotten up there without the camera bag, but I couldn't get up there with my camera bag. And like a week later, I bought a chin-up bar and I hung it up in my bedroom. And then for months after that, every time I walked in and out of my bedroom, I would do pull-ups. And then a couple months after that, I went back to that spot at sunset and I went to go take a picture of that sunset overlook. But I was able to climb onto the roof of the sunset overlook. And so now I finally like I got the shot from the vantage point that I wanted to. And like today, technically, truth be told, today I can't climb that thing. It's not happening. But there's definitely been moments like that throughout my life where I'm like, I need to hone my body because my body is the delivery system for me to get from where I had the idea to where the idea takes place. And that's why I'm so grateful to be alive and to have health. And
Too, man. It's
yeah,
such a blessing.
gratitude goes a long way, man. I'm gonna drink another gallon of this water. If I
So,
went off on any tangents
oh,
that
that's
didn't
cool.
circle back to
That was the goal. I wanted you,
fully
it
answer
wasn't
your
off
question.
on it. I
Yeah.
love it. I love it. This is what it's all about. Just zoning in and really honing in and reminiscing and also planning and being grateful and thinking about the future. It's a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
So I love that stuff. So it's all good. No, it's cool because everything starts somewhere, but then
Yeah.
it takes us to new places. So I love that, you're talking about the journey of finding the roller skates, excuse me. We
Sure.
retired the roller blades. But
Yes.
then to be ready for the tool, because now you have a new tool, which is the roller skates.
Yes. Yo, so I
You're
spent about a month where the roller skates and the camera did not meet.
I was gonna
And
say,
for the
yeah.
first months that I got the roller skates,
Only a month it took to get into a comfort.
like
Wow.
a month, but where every day I went jogging on those roller skates. Like I put them on and I did a couple of miles
Yeah.
until that was normal. Like a 30, not even a 30-day challenge, but like I was going for it. I put some time, like every day I would go skate a couple of miles, and maybe about halfway through I started like wearing a backpack, light backpack, nothing crazy. If you really want to work out, throw a sandbag in a backpack, go for a roller skate. Or just put on a camera bag that weighs 20 pounds, 30 pounds.
You were training yourself.
Yeah, training myself. 'Cause just like those, just like the exercise ankle weights, when you take off those ankle weights, it feels like you can jump to the moon. I have roller skated with those ankle weights. And then when you take them off, I feel like Michael Jordan.
I was saying that the other day to someone. I was like, in business, or when you're following your dream, or just anything. When you're able to do some hard shit, it becomes easy shit eventually.
Yeah.
Because once you kind of master this level, you're like, okay, I suck at accounting. I was listening to an interview the other day, and they were like, start sucking sooner than later.
Yeah.
And the sooner you could get the sucking out the way, the sooner you will not suck anymore. But there's this awkwardness in the beginning of anything,
Yeah.
whether it's a new job, you're at school, you're here, you're. But then once you fall down, you figure out, okay, this is how I hold my balance. You learn these new skills to not fall, to keep sturdy, to be stronger, to keep balance, to be able to do three things at once. Then when you look back, then you keep doing them and you just keep advancing, you keep learning. And then eventually you were like, wow, I used to suck at that. That's easy now. I highly encourage everyone out there, start sucking sooner than later, because sooner eventually you're not going to suck anymore if you really want it and you
Yeah.
really want to go for it. But yeah, bro, I'm look at you. Now that
Yeah.
the shit that you thought was hard
I
is
think that I suck at dancing, but I'll be the first person on the dance floor because seeing me suck at it gives other people more comfort to be like, man, I can dance better than that guy. Watch. And that now there's so that's the place that I feel comfortable.
You're good at that, man. You're good at being very composed in an uncomfortable place, but I think the level of your curiosity and your willingness to learn and have fun, it's contagious. And you don't let that get in the way. And I think that's just a beautiful, I think that's one of your fucking superpowers, bro. It's crazy.
One of my goals a few years ago that I think that I achieved that I'm still working on is stepping into the light and out of the shadows of being a behind the scenes person into being a person that's capable of holding his own in a circumstances like this. Like where we are right now. where I told myself for so many years, like, oh, I have a lot of personality, I have a lot of character, but I'm a behind the scenes guy. And throttling my personality back for certain rooms where I might be too boisterous, or that man's having too much fun, or my voice is too loud, or just holding back. And then holding back for other people's comfort. And not so much for my own like apprehension or insecurity. Then I
Feel
heard some, like we you and I both, we like to kick back and forth to like the motivational messages and things like that. And I'll probably butcher this a little bit, but in essence, when you live yourself, in essence, when you live your life to the fullest, when you are your most yourself, you also help to give other people permission to be their fullest and to be their most themselves as well. And so whether you're on a dance floor or you're in a business setting, or you're leading a group of people, you could be, you can like you could be the happiest guy on the construction site and just be a pleasant person to work with, even if you're not in, the it goes across the board, it goes for people following their dreams and say, oh man, like this guy has a t-shirt company. I want a t-shirt company. He's got one. I can make one. It's been brought to my attention at some point or another that I inspired somebody else. I try to not make that my goal. I try to live a life that results in that goal. And I think that that's really dope.
I agree.
You just like never know how you are influencing others. Like you specifically didn't set out to influence me when we had that conversation in between takes, but you said what you said, and then I said what you said, and it was that black and white that you influenced me and ended up putting positive words in my mind that I was able to say, I was able to repeat, regurgitate those words.
That's so real. Just be yourself to the fullest, and that in itself is a journey.
Me and Emilio Sparks, we like to call it the Good Samaritan Squad. That's when you literally go out of your way to help other people. I like to make a joke about it, and I like to give it a name, like we are a gang. The GSS, the Good Samaritan Squad. I close people's open backpacks. I've found at least four cell phones, found the owner through Facebook. I've returned wallets. I returned an iPad. Yo, when I returned that iPad, the nurse who owned that iPad said, "This isn't just an iPad. This is the iPad that my late son gave me
Wow.
the Christmas before he died." So that just wasn't just an iPad. That was the legacy of a dead man to his mother. And she cried as I returned it, because she's like, "This isn't just an iPad. This is the iPad that my dead son gave me." Fuck.
Crazy.
You know,
GSS for real.
the GSG.
Shout out to Emilio.
Yo, you can use Facebook to find somebody and send them a direct message and be like, "Yo, I found your wallet on the train." And then fix that. I don't know. Like, I've put people's backpacks in Ubers and all kinds of shit.
So real, man.
Telling people that their backpack is open is a great way to prevent them from losing shit that they didn't know that they were about to lose. I'm even
So
like
many ways.
walked up and closed it like I was a pickpocket, and they didn't even know that I touched their bag. I just
Meanwhile, you were fixing it. What are you doing back there? That awkward moment when you're like fixing the backpack.
No, I joke because you can really get stabbed like that. It's not even a joke. So I like to say that I'm the patron saint of your son. Your bag is open.
Better to just let him know, right? Yeah.
It's better to let him know.
Sneaking it.
Unless you want to take a walk on the wild side. You know.
Bro, what a freaking journey, right? And
yeah, and the best is yet to come.
Yeah.
Anytime that I think about like, oh man, like it's good to take time and it's good to appreciate the path that you've walked and the steps that you've taken and the accomplishments that you've made. I'm hungry, man. I just want to keep going.
Bro,
I'm satisfied.
I'm drinking the same juice
as you.
I'm not
satisfied. I'm grateful, but I'm not satisfied. I have a lot more work to do. I can refine what I do. I can make it. I can be more responsible. I can get better at delivering. I mean, this is not a flawless record. I have failed.
Me too.
But if I stopped because I failed, then I would be at a still point of the last place I failed. I would just be living there in that failure. And so you got to pick yourself up and keep going.
Real stuff.
You know, it's like you could be trying to do something or trying to make something of it. And you try and try for years. So maybe you try for 4 years, but it wasn't going to bubble until the fifth. Or it wasn't time, right? Like you had to spend all these years preparing something, but it wasn't time for that masterpiece to come to light. And then if you quit before your time, then it never reaches like your fruit, your fruit tree never bears fruit. And you have to keep watering.
Yep.
Like I said before, I'm going to revise and say again, the seed that you plant today, you don't eat today. You don't eat tomorrow. You really have to foster and nurture your life, the people in it, the contacts you've made, friends. The first people to ever hire me in my journey as a photographer were my friends. And that influences me to this day in the way that I do business, because I want to grow and become more and more, like gain more and more opportunities that are more lucrative. But a part of me doesn't want to lose connection to my roots and where I came from. So I reconcile that, like approaching my life and my work with this mindset. I have a price point for when I'm being hired by an individual. I have a price point for when I'm being hired by a company or a brand. And then in here, if it's a little company or a small brand, if it's a small business versus a big business, mom and pop construction company should not pay the same amount as if you were hired by Halliburton. And, Dave's artisanal kitchen soda shouldn't have to pay the same amount of money for great photography as Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola should have to pay a lot more.
You know, so, your audience.
Knowing the audience. And I want
And you're
to
a human.
And as far as I know, I am a human. And I want to be accessible to causes, nonprofits, and organizations that are like philanthropic. But some of those, just because they're doing good, doesn't mean they don't have money.
We know this.
So, yeah,
Sure.
so some of them will even pay top dollar because it's in their mission to support artists. So paying an artist a living wage is in their mission statement. And when they hire you to photograph their annual event, even though they might be an arts organization or a charity, they put some bread aside to.
Course.
So that's something to consider as well. And I don't think that like Madison Square Garden should pay the same as like an arts organization
Got to
to,
weigh out your projects,
yeah, so
and
you weigh it all out.
I love that you never want to forget about your crew, you know, your
Yeah.
people you grew up with, those f the first friends, and it just, I would never think you would. And I think no matter how National Geographic you go, you won't. Because that's just who you are, bro. You know, everything. I'm just proud of just seeing. I've known you probably over, I'm trying to remember, over a decade or so.
Yeah, it's about a decade.
Definitely around the time I started the company. That's 14 years right there. So just to see your growth as a human, let
Likewise.
alone an artist, has been parallel. You've taken who you are and you've perfectly injected it into what you do. And you were probably one of the first people that I saw who was just that, where they were. There was no other thing. There was no. And I know so many hardworking people. We talked about so many amazing workers of all different companies, jobs, whatever it is. Art or not, no art. There's an art to what everyone does, but you were the one of the first few people that was just taking photos as you're living, and you were living while you were taking photos, and I think it was one of the most. It's a beautiful thing, bro. Just to see you grow, the way you capture it, bro. Even if you're taking photos, I've seen you take photos with guys in the flashiest suits. To the guys with the grittiest boots, and you've treated everyone the same, and you've made everyone want to dance, you know, and smile, you know. So, no matter how crazy you get, bro, even if it's freaking the next president or freaking Raekwon, I know you're not going to change.
Thank you, David.
No problem, my brother. So, what a journey, right? And I feel like we need to have one of these every few years or every,
Definitely.
but I'm just inspired, you know. I've seen your story, but just to hear it, you take a deeper dive, and I'm just happy to just be here too, as you said, just be alive and grateful to be here.
I feel like you really understand me. You understand me on a profound level that I haven't had to explain. You have been there for so much, and you care, and through your care, you've paid attention. So a lot of things that I would love for people to understand about me, you do understand because you cared to find that out by absorbing the information. And so I'm really grateful for your friendship in that way. And I feel honored to be known and to be seen by you, bro.
You mean the world to me. I'm just grateful to know so many amazing people, bro, and like you're up there, man, of just people that just blow my mind of how they live their life. Like I could never do the stuff you do, but you're the thing. What you bring to the world, bro, is just inspiring. And it's just great to see someone with such joy go after their dreams while capturing other people's most memorable moments. And I'm blessed to know you as well, brother. So it's been, I'm you know, we've been friends 14 years. Cheers to 140 more.
140 more. You know, some of the most profound moments of my life, and I would say career as well, but also like it feels like my calling, so it's really one and the same, is being a witness for other people, period. But also being a witness for other people's most important moments. And that when I say this, I mean that like I can think of multiple instances where someone said out loud, "This is the greatest moment of my life." And right between me and them, there's a little red light on that says that I'm recording. And I'm capturing the moment that they say is the greatest moment of their life.
Wow.
And I'm like, well, that also, it's inherently, it becomes a reality that, like, if I'm living my purpose and my purpose is to be this for this other person, and they said it, it's like, well, then this is, it's like every time that happens, it becomes one of the greatest moments of my life because I couldn't be in a better or another place. I
Wow.
spontaneously, just recently, I was filming
Beautiful.
this event, and the mother of the organizer was present, and they had surprised the mom by bringing this woman to the, okay, wait, set up. I'm at the International Roller Skating Festival in Barcelona, which is a grassroots event which has grown from 12 people in 2012 to 50 people to 100 people to now 1,000 people. So imagine 1,000
Wow.
people like me who are all the standout member of their community who no one understand, no one knows why this person's always on roller skates, but they're in the nightclub, they're commuting to work on skates.
Wow.
Imagine 1,000 of us from all over the world converging at one on one beach. Now imagine trying to explain to your 90-year-old mother that that's your job, and the person that it's your that that's your job, and that the person who built this festival from scratch, from the ground up, who now has a sustainable, successful business that ballooned out of control because the popularity of roller skating ballooned out of control. So now this woman built and grew an annual festival with over 1,000 people, and it's tracking towards where like it's practically like a full-time job now, even though it's an annual event.
Wow.
Imagine trying to explain to your mother that that's your job, that's what you do for a living. So they brought the mom to the event, and they brought her to the International Roller Skating Festival. And I took so much joy in being able to walk up to this woman and say, "Your daughter is really special."
Wow.
She's had an impact on the lives of everybody you can see here. And then imagine the mom being like, yo, speaking in Spanish with a translator to the whole crowd. And our friend Marcos, who's bilingual, you know, translated as this woman says, like, ladies and gentlemen, she took the mic.
Wow.
She's like, I want you all to know how proud I am of my daughter. And it's like this mother confessed being proud of her daughter so profoundly that there was not one dry eye in the
Wow.
entire festival. Like the whole festival was crying, to be a witness to this mother praising her daughter.
Wow.
and I didn't even know that that was about to happen. And I'm just recording. Nobody even asked me to record this. I wasn't at work. That's just something that I love to do, so I do it. And I'm sitting there with the red light on, and this moment unfolds that has, like, the whole room in tears.
Wow.
And I get to like, I am not only did that moment happen, not only do I get to be a witness to this kind of life-affirming affirmation, but I get to immortalize it. I get to record this, and now if that lady ever has a bad day, she can just go to the Dropbox link and, like, watch this video of her mom say, "I'm really proud of you."
Wow.
Bro. Salute.
Salute.
Cheers to that. Being at somebody's wedding. I don't photograph a lot of weddings, but I photograph some. And being at somebody's wedding, they look out and they're like, "This is the greatest moment of my life." Wow. Snap. That shit, like, really means something to me.
What a blessing.
And I cannot possibly understate how important that is to me. And, like, when I'm lucky, that's what I do for a living. I immortalize things for posterity, for, you know, sometimes for money, sometimes because I feel compelled to do so. Sometimes I'm like, "Oh, this is going to be cool as shit." You know?
Yeah.
Like, I want to work more on, you know, where I work for a publication and the publication hires me to publish the cool things that I go and I witness.
Mm.
But we also live in a world now where I don't need that newspaper.
You are it.
We can all just be that.
Yeah.
I think self-publishing is the ultimate best next route for me. I think that there's a lot of different ways that I've still yet to explore in which I can self-publish my work. I've been doing photography for 20 something years, and I've never made Mike Shane Photography the book. Where's that shit at?
I'm ready.
I'm in, Dave. I already have it. I won't say the title. Like, I have a title. I understand what it is. But, like, why do I have no books in the world? Where are my books at?
Bro, you've been sharing your love for photography and capturing moments. I know I'm ready for it.
And the way that you have used merchandise to grow very, very wholesome ideas and make those ideas more prominent in the world through t-shirts is really profound. Cannot be understated. You're like flying the flag of good nature. And I know that you and I could have this kind of a conversation for several more hours. Luckily, we have our whole lives to continue this friendship. So let's do this again. Anyone who made it all the way to the end, thank you for listening to Dave and I.
Yeah, thank you, everyone.
Wax philosophic and emotional about these things that we love. My name is Mike Shane. Even my mom calls me Mike Shane. And my branding on all of the internet stuff is Mike Shane Photo. Instagram, Twitter. I haven't posted on Twitter in probably 5 years. But, you know, on all the things, Mike Shane Photo. And I hope to see you in the world sometime, Dave, and also all of you.
Yes.
Let's meet up. Let's go roller skating. It's fun.
I'm down. I'm down. I haven't. Have I? I've. Yeah, I have actually, and I fell many times.
Oh,
But I think that if I learned anything from
come
today,
on,
it
dude.
was
I'm trying, sorry, I was trying to show you my
pushing through the
I
pain.
fall every day. Most of the time I post the successes. I'm never embarrassed to fall. I just don't want to make other people feel bad. And they feel more bad about me falling down than I do. I fall down, I pop back up, and somebody else sees me fall down. They're like, oh my God, are you okay? And it's a lot to deal with. Really can't wait to see you again.
Same here, my brother.
Friendship signing off.